second way we stop ourselves is limiting and inaccurate beliefs. Where do they come from, Mark?
We're programmed by our parents. My parents didn't mean to say stuff like this, but they said, we can't afford that or that or that. Who do you think I am, Rockefeller? What do you think I am, made of money? What do you think, money grows on trees? And I liked it that when you went to Harvard, Jack, that you stayed with Lawrence Rockefeller. And
no, it's true. I was one of my friends my freshman year, and my freshman roommate was Larry Rockefeller. And I stayed at his house in off of Central Park in New York. It was an amazing place. It was actually two floors of an apartment building. But I said to him at one point, I said, did your dad ever say when you asked him for something, who do you think I am, Rockefeller? He said, no, of course not. He just said, how much do you want? And I said, I grew up in a different reality. You know, he grew up thinking he could have anything. And I grew up thinking there was a limited pie and I was being intrusive if I asked for it. So basically, we do incredibly get programmed by our parents.
Well, let me talk about that programmed by our parents, because we're hitting on that, Jack. And the question I had to come out of is there only scarcity in the world? And what I've discovered is there's not scarcity, but when you start asking the right question, is there fundamental abundance? Is there enough to go around? Is there more than enough for everybody? And then Cavett-Robert teaches it's not how big a piece of the pie you get, it's how big you make the pie. And once you understand it, it starts to break through and crush those limiting and accurate beliefs. And in life, you got to ask yourself the question, am I in a breakdown or am I in a breakthrough? And what this program is about is helping you to break through at every level, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and spiritually.
Well, we also get programmed at school. I remember where I went to school, if you asked for help, you get labeled as a brown noser, as a teacher's pet. You know, we're afraid if in an honors class, if we ask a question, people are going to think we're stupid. And so we're afraid to ask a question. And so then we end up saying what I call ignorant for the fear of looking stupid. I remember working at an aircraft company, big multi-billion dollar company. And I had all these managers in there that were like, you know, in the $75,000 to $100,000 range. So if you compute that out, they were all costing the company about $100 an hour or more. And I asked them, I said, if you're looking for some information and you can't find it, but you know the guy across the hall probably has it in his files, would you just walk across the hall and ask him or would you keep looking? And almost everyone in the room said they keep looking for at least another half hour. And I said, why? Is you really what's costing the company? They said, well, I don't want to look like I don't know what I'm doing.
The limiting belief in most people's lives controls them. And we have my chief of staff, Lisa Williams, who came into our company 15 years ago. I mean, I want lifelong employees, and she has just been the best of the best, and I can't be more happy and enjoyed with her. But she had, and I'm just quoting her with her permission, is that she had totally, absolutely dysfunctional parents. And, you know, when she came in, she was a young girl of about 18 years old and had a dysfunctional relationship with a man. And then all of a sudden, she's starting to hang around Patty and I, and we became sort of surrogate parents. And she says, hey, wait a second, you can have a different dating experience by asking different questions, by upgrading your relationship, by finding out how far it can go, because your question input determines your life output.